Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and a beauty queen at the same time? Can you glorify Jesus before the entire world in a skimpy bikini? We'll talk about it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
A report from Las Vegas says the newly crowned Miss America, 17-year-old Teresa Scanlon, is a mostly homeschooled Christian who pointed heavenward when she was announced as the winner Saturday night. Is there any conflict in being a devoted follower of Jesus, being a Christian, being someone who gives your life to God to glorify the Lord in all you do? Is there any conflict between being a devoted follower of Jesus and being a beauty queen or going through the process that is necessary to be elected Miss America, to be crowned Miss America? Michael Brown, we're going to talk about purity, modesty, and all those kinds of issues, and puritanical judgmentalism. We're going to talk about all that today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to call with your comments. And there's already a very lively discussion taking place on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. All right, I want to lay out a few things first. Give you my feelings first and then get some feedback from you. Number one, this is an issue worth talking about because we're talking about the larger issue of what it means to be a follower of Jesus today here in America, what it means to be an example. That's number one. Number two, I am not questioning whether this young woman has a relationship with the Lord or not. I'm certainly not her judge. I'm not questioning her motivation. I'm not questioning whether she will seek to use this position as Miss America at just 17 years old to testify and to call other people to follow Jesus. I'm not questioning that, nor am I questioning whether she is personally living a pure life. That's between her and God. I hope that she is in terms of her personal private conduct. What I want to talk about is a larger issue, which is, are we out of our minds? Have we lost biblical bearings? Have we forgotten simple principles of purity and modesty? Have we gotten to the point where it's perfectly fine? Remember, part of the Miss America beauty pageant hasn't changed. Okay, no, I don't watch them, but I'm sure it hasn't changed. And I'm sure that there are images all over the internet by today of our new Miss America, Teresa Scanlon, in a bikini. They have to be. Oh, okay, don't go searching for images, especially guys are going to struggle with this, but that's part of the issue here. How can you be doing the will of God? Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. How can you be doing the will of God, and even if you yourself are doing this with, quote, a pure heart, or not doing this to have people look at you, and this is just part of a competition and part of what you do, how can you wear, strut, I'm sure you got to walk a certain way, right? Strut in a skimpy bikini in front of millions of viewers, many of whom are young men full of lust and who are now going to put that picture up on their walls and lust after it or look at it online or whatever, or send it back to one another. Okay, I know there's a lot worse stuff out there, and blatant nudity and pornography and all this, but I'm sure people are still lusting after beautiful bikini-clad women. How can you present yourself to millions of people? How can you do that in a way that is definitely going to stir up unclean thoughts, that's definitely going to be an object of lust, that's definitely going to get the women comparing, and how do I look, and all the other stuff it stirs up? How can that possibly be the will of God? Now, you can differ with me or you can agree with me. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, I'm not questioning this young woman's heart or life. I'm questioning our larger culture of which she is a part. The report continues, this Associated Press, according to the new Miss America, she wasn't the only Christian contestant in this year's pageant. We know why we're here and what we're doing, said Scanlon. And we have a passion for it because we know it's what God wants us to do. And so every person that I meet, I know God has a reason why I'm meeting them. I just want to embrace that as much as I can this year. Scanlon told reporters that she and other Christian contestants had been at peace waiting for the judge's decision, confident that it was ultimately in God's hands. We knew that whatever happened is his plan, she shared, and so whether I won or not, I just knew that the right person would be in the right place. So I guess I'm in the right place, and I'm just so excited to see what he has in store. She says she and many of her fellow contestants are purpose-driven Christians. Quote, many of the girls who made it very high in the competition had a strong faith because that shows the substance and purpose behind what we're doing, and that's why we're driven. After a year as Miss America, Scanlon plans to attend Patrick Henry College, a Christian school in Virginia, where she'll study government and work toward a career in law and politics. Look, this young lady might be in the future mightily used by the Lord. This young lady might use her position as Miss America to share the gospel with many people. And in many other ways, she may set an example of purity and modesty. Now, there's the larger question of, does this just play into vanity? Should we have competitions like this? Does this just play into the vanity of our culture? And contrary to the emphasis that we should be putting on appearance as Christians, that we shouldn't be making that the big central thing? Or is this part of saying, hey, we can be beautiful. We can have a certain inner beauty. We can radiate. We can have a wisdom and a faith that comes out that people are attracted to us. Oh, okay. Maybe you could argue that. But is there a whole beauty queen culture leading up to it that contributes to vanity from when these kids are 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 years old? And can you separate the sensual part of it? Can you separate the fact that you've got a model in a bikini? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me ask you this. Parents here, if you've got a daughter, say a teenager, maybe she's attractive, could you see her, you know, you've prayed for her, you're followers of Jesus, you want your daughter to be godly. Could you see her modeling in a bikini in front of millions of people, knowing that that will stir up certain lust, as opposed to if she was just dressed in much more modest fashion, that it wouldn't, all right? And you say, well, look, I know you, in the Muslim world, you could wear like a bag over your head and people still lust after you. Yeah, but I guarantee you there'd be a lot more lusting and a lot more temptation and a lot more wrong thinking if the person was not wearing a bag over their head and if the person was not dressed so immodestly. I was teaching in California one time and talking about purity and holiness and happened to use the beach as an example, just as an example. And one lady said, you know, she's very passionate for the Lord. She said, look, I've been on the beach, you know, for years and years from Australia. And you know, a lot of beach culture there, naturally, and the weather and the landscape and all that. She said, I've been on beaches for years and never once thought a lustful thought about the guys. I never once thought, you know, some guy comes running by in his, you know, in his bikini outfit, whatever the thing is. She said, I've never once thought a lustful thought. I said, yeah, but the way you were dressed, were you an object of lust? You're telling me you weren't conscious of the fact that when you put that outfit on, that skimpy bikini, and walked down that beach, you weren't conscious of the fact that you were now an object of lust for men? You weren't conscious of that? Look, I am sure that there are some people that claim to be Christian nudists. I'm sure that there are people that, you know, somebody posted a question on Facebook, and they said, look, lots of people claim to be Christian and wear all kinds of outfits and conduct themselves in a certain way. I mentioned Jessica Simpson and Beyonce. I wasn't aware that Jessica Simpson and Beyonce were claiming to be born-again Christians. But if they are, all the more does that play into the question of our culture. 866-34-TRUTH. The former Miss Nebraska said she believes her faith was an advantage in the competition since she didn't have to think through and sort out her convictions beforehand. That's the whole purpose behind who I am. I'm defined by what God has created me to be. I want to say again, I am not judging her heart. I'm not judging her motivation. And she may be an exemplary young woman in many, many other ways. I'm asking the larger question, can you glorify Jesus as an attractive young woman in a skimpy bikini in front of millions of people where you are parading that for everyone to see? We'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. Sue in Chesterfield, you'll be up first. So get your comments ready and eager to have folks begin to weigh in. I remember hearing Tony Campolo, professor and evangelist, years ago, raising the issue. I tried to find it online before the show, and I didn't know enough specifics of the quote to remember it. But he was basically saying, "What do we realize how sexualized our culture is in one direction? And could you imagine if we were having a men's, you know, Mr. America competition and the guys would walk down in, you know, in kind of bikini briefs and then you give their measurements? You give detailed measurements of the male, you know, and he's this, this, and this, and this. I don't know if they still do those with Miss America, but they sure used to when I was a kid. You know, give the measurements and the whole bit. You think, something's a little funny with this picture here. Others would like to raise, well, hey, there are biblical precedents for beauty queens. What do you think? Yes or no? We'll talk about it. And a lot more interesting things to come before the show is out. Someone once said the purpose of clothing is what you're trying to cover, not what you're trying to reveal. Michael Brown, back with you on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Our website, askdrbrown.org, chock full of relevant material as we talk about purity, modesty, Christian Miss America. I'm going to read an excerpt in a little while from my book, How Saved Are We?, the chapter In the World and Of It. So my question again is not whether this young woman who was just voted in as Miss America, 17-year-old, not whether she is committed to follow the Lord as best as she understands, not whether her motivations are right, trusting that she wants to glorify the Lord in all that she does. The question is, can you really rightly do that? Is there something so defective in our culture that you can be a bikini-clad model? I think of a previous Miss America candidate who said that she happens to be a model and a Christian, and sometimes that means modeling lingerie, and sometimes that means modeling bathing suits, bikinis, and all that. What if you happen to be a Christian and a porn star? I happen to be a Christian and an assassin. I happen to be a Christian and a thief. I happen to be a Christian and a gambler. I mean, can you do everything and be a Christian? Or are there lines that get drawn? Or am I just being puritanical, judgmental? Oh, I'm not saying I've never sinned. I'm not saying I've never had a lustful thought. I'm not saying I've never looked at something I shouldn't look at. I'm saying I recognize those things are wrong, and I would not set them up as a public example. If I ever said something stupidly, I acknowledge I've done it, but I don't say follow me in saying stupid things. Follow me in learning not to speak so quickly. 866-34-TRUTH. Sue in Chesterfield, Virginia, what's your take on this?
Well, I feel that we're all in a spiritual walk, and some of us are still eating baby food and trusting God on a baby's level, and some of us are more mature. But more importantly, God does work in different ways. When Queen Esther saved her people through God's plan, she probably didn't believe in being one of many wives. And so God does work in different ways. But I do think that our goal should be to unite Christians. We are going up against Satan and his tyranny through a very strong, and I'm going to use the word, Muslim group of people that hate us, and the Jewish people. And that's the truth. And if you don't believe me, read Infidel, someone that's really experienced it full force and lives in threat of her life every day. And so I would say this. Let's support Christians. Let's start uniting Christians. And yes, sometimes we do sin, and yes, sometimes that's not the perfect plan. But the truth is God can use us where we are and grow us. And that's why we need to unite, and I'm united behind her. And no, I probably don't think that's the best to be wearing a swimsuit, but that's not the point. God has a plan for her life, and she is working towards being the Christ-called person that God Christ called her to be. So
all right,
I'm
hey,
really for...
Yeah, let me jump in and ask you a question, and I appreciate the clarity and passion with which you've expressed things. So do you want to unite with me, though, in taking a stand for purity and modesty?
Absolutely, and the truth is we do have to draw the line. But then, of course, there's the extreme where I don't want to wear a cap and I don't want to dress as the Amish, but that's to me, I don't see God making us down-faced no joy in our lives, no pleasure. I believe God wants to bless us with heavenly blessings and earthly joys, and that's straight from the Bible. I believe that we really do need to start uniting with Christians. I'm tired of nitpicking President Bush when he was light years better than the president we have. And the truth is, I'm really tired of nitpicking Christians. Let's start uniting Christians. That's how I feel.
All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in, Sue. I appreciate that. I guess, of course, my perspective is that we do have to draw lines in certain places. And the last thing I'm saying is that we should be joyless. But must a woman wear a bikini in front of millions of people to have joy? Must a man engage in some type of lustful or provocative behavior to have joy? Can we be full of joy and be modest? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me raise another issue here. Okay, Queen Esther, she's come up a bunch of times on Facebook. Can you tell me exactly what it meant? What did Queen Esther actually do? Okay, to become queen, can somebody tell me? All right, you can post on Facebook or you can call in and tell me, 866-34-TRUTH. What did Queen Esther actually do to become queen? What was the nature of the competition? What was the nature of what she was prepared for? Is this a good working model for today? Now, I want to say again, God is bigger than all of our weaknesses and failings and often accomplishes his purpose in the midst of our failings. However, we are witnesses. We are models. The failure of a Christian leader has tremendous implications for the state of the nation. I was down earlier this week in Austin, Texas. I was invited with 100 evangelical leaders to participate in events surrounding and leading up to the inauguration of Governor Rick Perry in Texas. I was super blessed to hear the degree of strong testimony that he has and stands that he's taken. But on the night before the inauguration, which was the main meeting I was able to participate in, there was some discussion about what happened in recent elections and evangelical turnout in 2010 compared to 2008-2006, and how there was a disheartening of evangelicals, a much lesser turnout in 2008 than in 2006 or 2010. But the degree of new pro-life candidates we got and pro-family candidates that we got elected. Now, hopefully they'll do the right thing having been elected. It compared with 2008 and then contrasted again with 2006. The simple thing I wanted to point out, though, was that discussion was made how the fall of one major evangelical leader shortly before the 2008 elections may have disheartened Christians. For any of us in any type of leadership role, we are examples. So moms and dads, do you want your kids following the example of a girl saying, hey, when I get older, I want to dress like that. I want to look like that. I want guys looking at me a certain way. Can you separate the two? Can you separate the way you look, the way you appear, the way you dress from the way people look at you? One of the things about Muslims, in my book, How Saved Are We?, I talk about the Muslim world and how the Muslim world often views the Christian world. And on the one hand, they've got it all wrong in many ways. You know, obviously, I'm not a Muslim for many, many reasons. On the other hand, there is a certain modesty in Islamic culture that is closer to biblical modesty than the way we dress in America. Now, I am not saying that women should be wearing burqas, okay? I'm absolutely not saying that women should be covered head to toe. I am not saying that. I am saying that the way women dress in the Muslim world is often closer to the biblical pattern or what would have been considered cultural modesty in previous generations than the way a lot of us dress today, especially women, because of our culture and because what's accepted is normal. And I'm talking about within the church. I'm talking about within the church. Muslims would say that our Christian women, we allow them to dress like prostitutes. And there is certain truth to that. All right, real quick, Esther. Debbie, can you just tell us quick what was required of Esther to become the queen?
Yeah, she had no choice. You can compare Esther to the new series they have on TV called The Bachelor. It's all these women parade themselves in and who gets picked the best, like who is the best. She had to be prepared for like 6 months.
But what did she actually do to become queen? What did she do? Did she model for the king?
Yep. She
was
had
there...
a That was her book. She had her book.
All right. Hang on. Thank you. Was there more? Did Esther have to do more than model for the king? Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Glad to be stirring up a little controversy, but for the purpose of edification, for the purpose of getting you to think, for the purpose of contributing to moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution here in America. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. We're talking about something that's come up, every few years, the question of Christian Miss America, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on Line of Fire. If you missed yesterday's show, we talked about keys for godly optimism and did a special show on Monday challenging us with the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. Let me read something to you from my book, How Saved Are We? If you don't have the book, get it. It'll bless you, challenge you, speak to you, stir you. It stirred me in writing it years back. I'd say it's more relevant now than when I wrote it. Chapter 6, In the World and of It. When Paul instructed the Corinthians not to associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler, he was careful to point out that he was not talking about the unsaved, but rather about those who claimed to be believers but were not living the life. Otherwise, he said, you would have to leave the world. Nowadays, things are different. To follow Paul's instructions, we would practically have to leave the church. In times past, the church went into the world and converted the lost to the Lord. Today, the world has entered the church and perverted the law of the Lord. 2,000 years ago, the ancient world was amazed by the disciples' courage. Today, the modern world is amused by our carnality. Once we effectively evangelize the lost, today we entertain them. We have more of a soap opera gospel than a sold-out gospel. And here is the tragedy of it all. We have adjusted our standards to the constantly declining standards of our society for so long that we do not even realize how far we have fallen. Take the example of modest dress. At the end of the last century, meaning the 1800s, the people went to the beach. They were practically covered from head to toe, little by little. More skin was revealed until today almost anything goes. So what do beach-loving believers do now? They go to the same, skin-infested waters, surrounded by half-naked bodies. Actually, half-naked wouldn't be so bad. But they wear modest bathing suits. Some even try to justify modest bikinis. Modest? Compared to what? To a modern-day version of a couple of fig leaves? How dare we expose ourselves so freely? But no, we're being conservative by the standards of the world. And what will we do if our country legalizes nude bathing? Will we still frequent these beaches? Will we try to develop a modest nude look? All right. Little sarcasm to raise a point there in my book, How Saved Are We? Back to this issue. Again, I am not questioning whether the newly crowned Miss America wants to please the Lord. I'm not questioning whether she prayed a lot before doing this, and I'm not questioning whether somehow in her own mind she did not have a conflict between parading in a skimpy bikini for the world to see, for men to lust after, for teenagers to find a provocative image. I'm not questioning whether she could somehow do that without there being a conflict in her own heart. I am raising the larger question, can you really do that for the glory of God? So, of course, people rightly bring up Queen Esther. I mean, after all, Esther, a Jewish woman, married a pagan king. Now, that would violate a number of things in terms of normal culture. So this was exceptional. In other words, according to the Torah law, that you shouldn't give your kids to pagans, men to marry women, women to marry men. That was not to be done. Obviously, there was a larger divine purpose involved in this. But was Esther only a beauty queen? I mean, what happened? She was prepared for months and months and months, and each night the king would just look at them? No, it would have been bad enough if he looked at them and they wore some skimpy outfit and they walked back and forth and he checked them out. That would have been bad enough. But no, that wasn't it. He had sex with them, slept with them. Is that not what's understood from the text? So I would not want to use Esther as examples. And if you young ladies think that that's right for you as a follower of Jesus, you know, maybe some king somewhere is looking for someone, maybe God could raise you up and, you know, you just, every, you know, all the different ladies are going to be with him one night and then he'll pick the one that pleases him the most. I've tried to use this principle through the years, which is, would it be right to do this among a bunch of believers and after a time of praying or worshiping the Lord together or just in fellowship? For example, let's just say you have a meal together, you fellowship, and someone says, hey, can you pray for my aunt? She's really sick. You have some time in prayer. And then it's like, hey, guys, let's go play some volleyball. All right, let's go play some volleyball. You could easily do that, right? Let's say you decide, we're going to do a little sewing class for our daughters. Okay, do that. Great, fine. You know, lots of things you could easily do. Could you worship the Lord together, have a fellowship meal together, and say, hey, we're going to watch a special movie, and it's one of these blood and gore, slice the people open, blood gushing, pouring out everywhere, full of profanity, glorifying violence, evil kind of movies. Could you do that? I don't see how. Oh, have any of us seen things we shouldn't? Have you ever seen a movie like that? No, that's not the question. The question is, was it the right thing or something that we had to repent of? In the same way, could we say, okay, we're done with the fellowship, and we're going to have a Miss America pageant now with the young ladies in our church, the young single ladies in our church. They're going to come. First, they're going to wear like an evening gown. Then we're going to ask them questions. I don't know what goes on in the whole competition. Then they're all going to wear their best bikinis and model and walk back and forth. How in the world? I'm answering my own question. How in the world are you going to do that together in a way that we're talking about mixed company? All right, I'm not talking about some silly fun thing that some ladies may do alone or whatever. I don't know would be appropriate there either. But certainly in mixed company, how are you possibly going to do that? And how are you possibly going to do that as that young lady without thinking to yourself, I am putting myself on display, on sexual display, to be looked at and lusted at by others? I'm judging the culture more than the individual. I'm saying there's something profoundly wrong with the culture that we're in, that we can even talk about this in the same context with following Jesus. Young lady asked this question on Facebook. Hannah made this statement, wearing provocative clothing, which stirs up the lust in a man, doesn't sound like a deep Christian to me. There's nothing wrong with being a beauty queen, but what you have to do to become a beauty queen does not represent God's standards as a Christian. In what sense, friends, are we supposed to come out from the world and be separate? No, it doesn't mean being joyless. And it doesn't mean a bunch of man-made rules and regulations. But does the scripture call us to be modest? Just a simple question. Does the scripture call us to be examples? Does the scripture call us not to put stumbling blocks before other people? Does the scripture call us to watch our eyes in terms of lustful things or wrong things or sinful things, and therefore watch our eyes and watch our hearts? Should there be an atmosphere that is conducive to morality and godliness, or should there be an atmosphere that is conducive to lust and flesh? There are handsome men and beautiful women I know that shine and that radiate and that glow and are full of joy and full of life and totally modest. In fact, the modesty is part of the beauty. More to talk about. Oh, a couple updates that may disturb you. Stay with us. Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. The question that we are asking is it consistent to be a beauty queen and a devoted follower of Jesus at the same time? What got my attention was the article, Associated Press, January 18th, the newly crowned Miss America 17-year-old Teresa Scanlon is a mostly homeschooled Christian appointed heavenward when she was announced as the winner Saturday night. Now, I did not watch Miss America. No, I can't remember the last Miss America that I watched. And even if some of it was perfectly fine, I mean, maybe the person's talent, they sing or play the violin. Wow, amazing. And maybe there's an evening gown thing that's modest and all that. But, you know, there is a lot about the vanity of the event that would obviously just make me question things. But more importantly, there's a bikini competition, which I could not watch that and have a right attitude before God. I cannot watch those people modeling their showing off their bodies in bikini. That's why excuse me. For those that want to be very spiritual about this, isn't that why they're doing that? Aren't they? Isn't that why they take off the other clothes and wear the bikini? So as to show off their bodies and to show off their figures and to show off their endowment? Isn't that why they do it? And don't they walk in such a way so as to put their best foot forward and make people look at them? And or don't they understand that there will be many men looking at them, lusting after them because of the sensual display? We're discussing these issues. Again, we're not discussing this young woman's relationship with the Lord. You know, the pointing to heaven, she may have really been humbled and wanted to glorify the Lord. Maybe she's prayed about this a lot. And I'm just saying that many of us have blind spots. We'll put it like that, okay? Many of us have blind spots. So I'm not judging her individually. I'm simply saying, is this conduct, is this example becoming for a Christian? And I'm looking here in my Bible at Ephesians 4, which talks about the hardness of the heart that produces darkening of understanding and alienation from the life of God because of ignorance that's in people due to the hardness of their heart. And I think that we're in a heart-hardening culture more than we realize, exposed to so many ungodly influences. I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment, but look, I mentioned some disturbing updates. You know, in England, there is a Christian counselor, a woman. A man came to her saying, I'm struggling with homosexuality. And she said, okay, look, I only counsel in the biblical Christian framework, you know, about change and this is sinful. Yeah, that's exactly what I need. Well, the whole thing was a setup. The guy recorded it. Well, she's now been told that she may lose her license because of that. And then bed and breakfast people who said, well, we don't want a gay couple staying with us, this discriminatory. You say, what's that one got to do with the other? Our whole culture is so off. Our American culture, British culture, there are so many departures from sane biblical sense. Everything is in a state of moral chaos. And it's important for us to regain our bearings, not to be a little bit better than the world, but to be like Jesus in the midst of the world, where we are caring, compassionate, loving people who serve the hurting, who get engaged with sinners and show them the love of God, while we ourselves live in holiness before the Lord, being like Jesus. Carol in Winston-Salem, you've got a question you'd like to raise.
Yes, I was brought up in a legalistic church where it seemed like they were more concerned with the rules than they were people's relationship with Christ.
Yep.
And this is bringing up some feelings for me that debates that we had there of what does a woman wear to a pool when she goes on vacation with her family? You know, they want to go to the pool in the summertime. I mean, where do we draw the line where we're paying more attention to rules than we are relationship?
Yeah, Carol, I'm so glad you raised that question, because when I do teach on holiness, at length I talk about the difference between legalism and holiness. And you summed it up. It's the difference between relationship and rules. So legalism is rules without relationship, standards without a savior, laws without love, putting more emphasis on what people don't do than who they are in Jesus. So
Right. Absolutely.
That's why I said I don't know this girl's relationship with the Lord. You know, she could have some blind spots like many of us have. But I'm going to answer your question on the other side of the break. But thank you for raising it, because if we put the emphasis on the outward appearance and not on relationship with Jesus, then we're missing everything. So thank you for calling. I'm going to answer your question directly on the other side of the break. What do you do? Your family, you want to go to a pool. You want to take vacation time. What do you do? You want to go to a beach. How do you handle that? I'll give you some of my closing reflections and bottom line for today. Stay with us. All right, I've got a lot to get done in a few minutes. Watch us do it here on the Line of Fire. Okay, first question, if folks want to be godly, they are on vacation, going to go to a pool, they're going to go to a beach, what do you do? Well, what we did with our daughters was when they would go to a pool as teenagers, what we required of them was this, that they wore a, first that, you know, they didn't wear skimpy bikini outfits anyway. You know, Nancy would work on standards with them so that they would wear modest bathing suit, but that they would wear a baggy T-shirt over their outfit. And when they went in the water, they'd take the T-shirt off and they'd be swimming in the water. When they came out of the water, they'd put the T-shirt back on. So that was it. That's just the way we worked it out with them. And, you know, if I was going with a family, I would make sure that if there's some pool and you got a lot of young people in particular and they're scantily clad, that to me that's just not healthy for the eyes, okay? And at least for the male eyes, perhaps for some female eyes also. And if it was a beach, if I couldn't find a secluded place, hey, you know, you can live without water. But otherwise, just find out ways to not be objects of lust and to just keep yourself from being defiled by the world. That's a biblical godly example. Some comments on Facebook, Jackie, taken from the Miss America official website. The Miss America program exists to provide personal and professional opportunities for young women to promote their voices in culture, politics, and the community. Then Jackie says, and she needs to look good in a swimsuit to do that because? To which Greg says, Jackie, she represents the perfect woman. And in every man's eyes, the perfect woman looks great in a swimsuit. I've not done this before in bottom line comments, but I want to read what Sharon just posted on Facebook because it's so apt and it deals with some larger questions. She said, I personally think that it is a very shallow worldly competition. It's all about the worldly view on how beautiful a girl can be or what beauty is. Man looks at the outward appearance. God's looking at the heart. If I can remember, they parading around in a bikini. Personally, I think that this is wrong, especially for a daughter of the King Most High. Why would you want to do this? What's your heart's motive? Christian girls need to be an example to the world of what beauty truly is. We need to be different. According to the world, beauty is a certain look, a certain size, etc. And this is what this competition represents to me. Yet real beauty is so much more than skin deep, clean hands and a pure heart, gentle and peaceful spirit, being comfortable, content, and accepting of how God made you and that we were created in his image. Therefore, I think that it's inconsistent to be a devoted Christian and Miss America pageant beauty queen. Again, we're not judging individuals. Perhaps there are blind spots, but to me, those blind spots, and I'm sure you can point out blind spots in me. Please do if you see them. Those blind spots are the product of us being in a compromised, sinful culture and often preaching a compromised gospel so as to please people more than to please God. If you'll go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. We posted the article on holiness versus legalism. Read it. It's a free article. You can access holiness versus legalism. If we can put the emphasis on being like Jesus in thought and word and deed, in our daily conduct, in our daily walk, in our daily actions, attitudes, Lord, how can I please you? Is what I'm doing glorifying the Lord? Is my behavior, my speech, my attitude, is that glorifying the Lord? If not, whatever it is, we need to step back. We need to reevaluate. On a regular basis, I'm going before the Lord about my conduct, my actions, my attitudes, and people that love me are speaking into my life so that I can be more like Jesus. Rather than running from counsel like this, rather than calling it legalism, and there is a dangerous, deadly legalism that's out there. Let's not run from legalism and embrace license and liberty of the flesh. Let's embrace Christ-likeness, holiness, becoming like Jesus, and shining for him in thought, word, and deed. And that means modesty and purity, too. Back with you tomorrow, right here on the Line of Fire.